So if you turn to, I don't have a lot of scripture tonight. I probably won't preach very long, and so you're going to have to listen very closely. Psalms 139 and 14. Glory to God. I give a list of scriptures to the sound people up there, and generally it's a list of like 25, and they were just amazed at how short the list was. The title of this message is The Value of a Man. Psalms 139 and 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are an incredible creation. God has put more into us than any creature on the face of the earth. And sometimes I don't think we understand how valuable we really are. The Bible says that one soul is worth more than the entire world. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word, that you touch it, make it alive, comfort us with it, enrich us with wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God has created in us the most complicated presence on the face of the earth. We can't imagine how complicated and intricate science and doctors have been studying the human body for many, many decades and still can't figure out how it really works, how intricate it is. You know, those who believe in evolution have to have more faith than people who believe in God. If you think that we just evolved one day, like we walked out of a woods because something catastrophic happened, well, that's crazy. The abilities that we have to think and to function like no other living creature, if we marvel at any great accomplishments here, I mean, there's lots of accomplishments that man has made. I mean, to put a huge airliner up in the air and going 600 miles an hour, or build a skyscraper of 100 stories, or have space stations and travel in space, cures for disease and computer technology that is unrivaled. Who would have thought? You first must marvel at the human that God created that was able to do those marvelous things. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. In God's estimation, one soul is worth more than the whole world, and he died for us. That makes us more valuable than anything else. Consider that the whole world has been working on a vaccination for a year. All of our science and all of our technology, plus probably $1 billion or more, went into finding a cure for this COVID-19. And yet each of us are really laboratories, if you will, having been able to produce our own antibodies once that virus is found in our body. The body goes to work and says, I got to develop something in order to kill this virus, and it does. Hallelujah. No test tubes. God says, okay, I've given you the ability in order to overcome this thing, and many of you have. We in ourselves are laboratories produced by God, and there is an army of defense God put in each and every one of us to watch over us and to protect us from the enemy of disease. Otherwise, most of us wouldn't even be here if we hadn't been cured by our immune system over and over and over again. Glory to God. I don't think we realize how incredible our bodies really are. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then the fact that we have an incredible and unconquerable God that literally lives inside of us. Oh my, There is a power and a presence of God in us that can overcome anything. It makes me feel good tonight, knowing that God is living in me. I don't have to call him up. I don't have to go hunt for him. I don't have to look for him. He resides within me, and that humbles me. Take a look at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Second Corinthians 4, starting in verse number 7. Paul's saying, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We're in the process of dying, every one of us, and yet there's life inside us, and it's what keeps us going. It's what motivates us to do more. The song says, I've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. I can face any enemy, for God and I make a majority. We have to keep reminding ourselves, God's living in me. I've got a power within me. I have a faith that I believe that God can do anything. He's unstoppable. The word treasure in the Greek means a deposit of wealth. So we have the most valuable commodity on the face of the earth that lives inside of us. And sometimes we just don't realize it until we get into a spiritual state or service. And we recognize there's a language that's coming out of us that we didn't learn. And it brings us back to realizing, hey, God's living inside of me to be able to do that. Amen. So we have this deposit of wealth in an earthen vessel. Long before man came up with polyester and microfiber, you know, all of these incredible things that don't wrinkle, God had earthenware. Very unique fabric made out of dirt. Each of us were made out of, we're glorified dirt balls. It lasts and lasts, and I can't imagine, you know. I mean, most animals have a life expectancy of maybe 8, 9, 10 years. We're living into the 90s and even hundreds from time to time. It's a very unique fabric. It doesn't require ironing, you know. You don't have to get up in the morning and say, well, I got to press out these arms, you know. They're, but I have noticed that they do start to wrinkle with age. And it has an amazing ability to stretch and contract based on how much we eat, you know. God knew. Hallelujah. And when the dirt fabric wears out after years and years of all constant problems and wear, God has a trade-in program. How many are glad for God's trade-in program? Amen. For an even better model made without hands, the Bible says. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. So the exchange program is when the dirt balls die, when this flesh, this suit of flesh is no longer able to continue, God says, all right, now that you have proved yourself, I've got a new body for you. Hallelujah. A suit guaranteed for eternity. How'd you like to buy a suit like that today? And we thought this body was great. Can you imagine what this next body? We're going to have a body fashioned after his glorious body. We're going to be able to walk through walls. We're going to be able to appear where we want. You know, don't get a ticket. You can just go there. I can't imagine how great it's going to be. And then the fact that we know after the rapture of the church that there is never going to be an end to this body. We are going to live forever. Death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. Oh, but there's a catch. I found the catch in Scripture. The exchange program only works if we continue to have the treasure inside. No treasure, no exchange program. I read about a man some years ago that bought a picture for just $2 at a flea market. And it was a picture of an old country church. It wasn't very good, and the picture was tattered and faded. But he brought it home, and he really bought it for the frame. He was going to use it to frame something that he liked. And when he got it home, he took the picture out of the frame and found a neatly folded sheet of paper, and it was an original of one of 100 copies of the Declaration of Independence, and it was worth over $1 million. $2. Amen. How many people pass by worthless things that have great value to them and didn't see the treasure inside? There was a time when the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher pay temple tax? And Peter says, yes, he does. You know, God will never owe you anything. You do something for God, and I'm telling you, he has to respond. He has to reward an hour of prayer, extra dollar in the offering, faithfulness, teaching, talking to somebody, witnessing. God will always respond, and he will always reward you for whatever you do. He's not an employer that doesn't give you a paycheck. I talked about that a few weeks ago. But at the time, Peter had no money to pay the temple tax, so Jesus told Peter in Matthew 17 and 27, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, this is probably one of the most incredible miracles in the entire Bible. It's also probably the most fun miracle in the entire Bible. To imagine that you could catch a fish and that you could reach in and take out a gold coin. I don't know if it was 1 ounce. If it's 1 ounce, even today, is worth $1,900. Now, this guy who has been fishing all his life, first of all, he had to have faith enough to believe that that would actually happen, you know? He knows what a good fish looks like, but Jesus cautioned him, the first fish that comes up, I don't care if it's only a little fish, you know, you would throw it back, but no, there's something valuable within that fish. Don't decide based on what the fish looks like. This will preach, folks. Glory to God. I remember somebody saying, I thought you'd never be able to get saved. I have put a treasure inside that fish. The prize wasn't the fish, it was what was inside the fish. And I wonder if it was difficult for Peter to stop fishing, you know? Well, if there's one fish with a gold coin, who knows, you know? All of a sudden, he's got an incentive to stay out in the boat and do a little more fishing, you see. I could get rich. But Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 4 and 19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Don't look at what they look like. There's something inside of them that is much more valuable. We have become fishers of men, and we need to take the first fish that comes up. It may not look like somebody who could get saved. Many of us didn't look like we could get saved. But somebody tried to put us in a boat, put us in the ark, didn't give up on us. We didn't see the value at the time. But I don't know how many of you have been with people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, but there's an energy, there's an excitement, there's a reward in it. Sitting in a Bible study, seeing people weep before you and shake, thinking, my God, why didn't I ever hear this? I've been fishing all my life in Bible studies, and it doesn't get old. I've been licensed for many, many years in order to fish. Gideon and his 300 men were told to break the pitcher so that the torch on the inside would shine. It wasn't the pitcher. It was what was inside that had to be allowed to shine out because the prize was inside. Make an investment in people that the world has thrown back. You know, I know there are some who want just the best people in the church. I don't want down and out. We got to pay for this building. We need people who are of some means and some substantial money. But you know what? God's saying, no, don't look at what the fish looks like. The homeless, the helpless, the sick, the addicted, the people that nobody cares for, and see if Jesus hasn't hid some prize, some joy within them. Feel the joy that comes from being a fisher of men. It's really what God has called us to do. It's not a coincidence that God says, Peter, come on, you've been fishing, I got a new trade for you. Sometimes we judge the reward based on what it looks like, you know? Several months ago, I invited a doctor and his wife to our church, and he's an orthopedic surgeon, and I found out that he is probably the most famous and notable in the state of Wisconsin for surgery on legs and knees and shoulders, and I talked to him today, and he said, I want to help your son-in-law. Now, he hasn't been back in months to church, but now we're going to have a regular occasion in order to talk to him because this is going to be a long... I mean, how does God put stuff like that together? You know, all things work together for good. Amen, amen, hallelujah. God hasn't required that we stuff and display the people that we bring into the church. You know, okay, you just sit there and be quiet. We're just putting you on display. We want to have a lot of fish in our church. Just get them in the boat and let God deal with them, and you're going to see there's treasure. You know, people are problems in the church, and people are the answer in the church. You know? Jesus is the treasure that is hidden inside those things that seem to be ordinary. Jesus lives in the forgotten. He lives in the ignored. He hovers over those that are sick. Jesus is found in the most unlikely places. And now he's found in us. He is found in the broken and the beaten and the lonely and the elderly. I mean, how many people are lonely because of this pandemic? How many people are are just forgotten because of it. They haven't had any real contact with others. You'll find him in the rejected and the refused, the unattractive and the challenged. To see Jesus, you might have to leave the world of comfort in order to minister to those who are uncomfortable and talk to the man regarding his divorce and missing his children and on and on and on. That's why we're here, in order to reach out to those who nobody else wants to reach out to, folks. We're in an enviable position as far as God is concerned, because we have the information. We can comfort and restore people like no one else can. It's not religion. It's the Spirit of God within us. It's the treasure in these earthen vessels, that he would get the glory, not we get the glory. You see, the treasure is found on the inside of these earthen vessels. Perhaps the world sees us as fanatics and Bible junkies, but we're walking around with great wealth within us. If I establish anything tonight, I just want to establish this, is that you don't realize the wealth and the power that you have living inside of you. You're not a nobody. You're a somebody. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One day, the Bible says that we're going to be judging angels. Glory to God. We're walking around with great wealth. So much wealth has been stored up in us, we need to share it with the unfortunate. Every week, there's more wealth that is poured into you by his Spirit, by his Word poured into us, that we have become more and more powerful. There was a lame man sitting at a gate, beautiful, in Acts, the third chapter, and he wanted money just to get by. I just want to make it another day. How many people are in that place where they just want to make it another day? I just want to get through this month, get the mortgage paid for, get enough food, and take care of my family. That's all I want. They don't see beyond that, you see. But Peter gave him what he had inside of him. It said in Acts 3 and 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How many people walked by someone that they looked at that had no value whatsoever, but we have something to give them. We have something to offer them. Amen. We don't just give them a fish. We teach them how to fish. When you come into the church, it's not enough to hand everybody a fish. It's a matter of, this is how we do it. You could feed yourself in the middle of a pandemic. It would be a terrible thing, after all of the expense and research, to find a cure for this virus. And it's here. I have no idea when it's going to be available. We've been trying to find a way to get my 93-year-old mother-in-law vaccination, and nobody has any answers, even now. But it'd be terrible if, after all of the expense, all of the research, and finally we get to a place of vaccination, that there were just a few people who could get it. For some, it would be a matter of life and death. I've been waiting for some people to be available. As sad as that is, if people don't get what we have inside of us, they'll all die without God. See, there's a greater urgency to get the Holy Ghost than there is the vaccine. Really, it's true. There is a prize at the end of this thing, folks. Amen. So it's not a matter of just holding on until Jesus comes. It's a matter of, I want to do as much as I possibly can. When I was in high school, I went out for cross country. It was 2.5 mile race. And the coach would instill in us over and over again, you need to be running faster at the end of the race than at the beginning. It was called a second wind. Some of us need a second wind. We need to be running faster now than when we first came into this thing. Our last scripture is in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. Philippians 3 and verse number 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I need to press forward to the prize. And Jesus is the prize, folks. You can have as much of him as you want. The question is, anybody want to go fishing? You know? Anybody want to see the miracle? The fact of the matter is, each and every one of us are miracles. Somebody came to me with this information, and I didn't want anything to do with it. Thank God I got to that place where I said, yes, give me more information. How many have simply said, I don't want anything to do with it? And today I stand here with a treasure inside of me. This body isn't going to last very long, but there's a new one. The exchange program is out of this world. The prototype has been here, a body fashioned after Jesus' body, and it's going to be awesome. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? You see, I've been preaching about this for over 40 years. And you can get to that place, well, when is that going to happen? You know, I know it's going to happen. When is it going to happen? And if there was ever a time, folks, that this world could recognize our God is coming, it's now. We have the attention of the entire planet, folks. And now the way this country is going and is so divided, and there isn't a clear sound from anybody. The church needs to be the light of the world. The church needs to stand up and say, I know I have the answer here. Glory to God. Amen. I want to be that answer for somebody. 2021, God has set the stage, and I believe he's going to open the door for things like we've never seen before. The altar's open. Would you come?